Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The first round of the draft was in the books late last night, and the Browns got better up front. This is a team that wants to be physical at the point of attack. They want to be physical, stopping the run. And they got two guys to help them stop the run and run the football at number 12. Danny Shelton, we pegged him there at number 12 in our final call.
February.
Forever. And that's exactly who the Browns got. And in talking to him last night, he knew he was coming to the Browns. He said, as soon as I got past Chicago, I knew he was coming to the Browns. And I had a feeling they wanted me all along. And he was here. And then at number 19, I was saying for months, I don't want an offensive lineman in the first round. But if they do take an offensive lineman in
the
first
round, take, Nathan Zagura?
The only guy they can take is Cameron Irving, and that's who they took at number 19. Getting a guy who could come in and play guard and then can transition and be the center should you need it if Alex Mack decides to leave. And he also could just start and play guard for a long time. Was an All-American left tackle. He's been last 2 years in the ACC. He won the award for being the best offensive lineman in the ACC 2 years in a row. This is a very talented player and a guy that I know the Browns were very high on. I heard he was near the top of their board.
You know, a couple takeaways for me, Nathan, from the weekend about both picks were a few things. I had the opportunity to represent the Cleveland Browns on the gold carpet. And some of the interviews were aired on the live draft special yesterday prior to the NFL draft. And again, some of those clips will actually be used potentially in the Dog Pound report because I got to spend time with Cam Irving. And one of the questions I asked him, my last question was, you know, what would it feel like to be a Cleveland Brown? And so for him to answer that question and him end up a Cleveland Brown, but he lit up. He talked about his visit here and he would love to be a Cleveland Brown. Was what he conveyed. And then also, too, when we had the opportunity to get with Danny Shelton finally, without being coached by anybody, no Cleveland Browns representative were walking him arm-in-arm to us to get that first interview. Being uncoached and referencing the Dog Pound, and they're going to be proud. They're going to want to have their eyes fixed on him because of the way he plays, was just a very exciting moment, which meant that on their visits – and Ray Farmer's phone calls and their communication at Combine and Pro Days and everything leading up to the draft, that the impression was very positive about the Cleveland Browns organization. And we got two great players that are going to be, you know, very special for this organization for a long time. But they knew about this culture prior to hearing their name called, and it came at no surprise.
No, and Mel Kiper had in the picks that he liked the best, he had the Browns picks. Todd McShay had the Browns picks and the ones that he liked the best as well. Bleacher Report giving the pick of Danny Shelton in A. Some people were not as high on Cam Irving, I know, as the Browns were, but the Browns got their guy. They think they got a value getting him at number 19, and he's a guy they think can be a big-time player for this team. You could look back at it and wonder if they took Parker at 12, could you get Danny Shelton? Could he have been there for you at 19? Now that we know Malcolm Brown went 32nd, Eddie Goldman didn't get picked, but at the time, the Browns stayed true to their board, stood pat on a day when everybody thought they were trading somewhere, whether it be for Bradford, whether it be for Mariota, that they were making some type of a move. They made no moves. They got two guys that they've wanted and started from talking to people here in the building who were in that room last night. They said it ended up being a very easy draft for us. We knew the guys that we wanted. We stayed pat, and they came right to us, and we got him in Shelton and Cam Irving. The coaches are very excited. I know the GM very excited, Ray Farmer, talking to him today, that it went exactly how they had hoped it would go, and they are very pleased with the guys they have added to this team.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, for you and I, leading up to the NFL draft, even as of yesterday at 6 p.m., as the draft was just about to get started, you and I, you know, I said to you, if what happens in front of us should happen the way we think it will, we'll get our guy at 12, and it has long been Danny Shelton. The uncertainty was, with Bud Dupree on the board, you know, still late into the teens, is he a guy? you know, all based on their rankings that we take at 19 as a pass rusher that we've talked about for the past few months. Breshad Perriman was another guy still on the board. Nelson Agholor. Jalen Strong, you know, attended the draft there. Devin Smith, another guy. Would have been an extreme stretch to take him at 19, but he's not, you know, he's a guy that may be on the radar at 43. But all in all, I think it's a very strong, physical, tough approach to the NFL draft, building in foundation, and that's what you have to love about this organization.
You do, and they listen, they came out, they said they had their philosophy. I now think it is time to get a playmaker. I think today, when you come out of today, you've got two picks as of right now, 43 and 77. I want a playmaker. Jalen Strong would be a great pick. Obviously, Dorial Green-Beckham would be the ultimate pick. I have offered my services as a professional babysitter. I know DeKid would do it as well, in case we need to keep him on straight and narrow, because he's that much of a talent. But I want one of those two at receiver, and I also think today is the day that you get an edge rusher. Nate Orchard, Eli Harold, there are some good ones. The guy from UCLA, I'm just going to call him Owa. Owa is out there. They're good edge rushers, they're good receivers, and they're good tight ends. Max Williams, Clyde
Walford. What about
Funchess? I'm not getting the feeling that Funchess is going to be a Cleveland Brown.
He's dropping.
I think he is dropping a little bit. They're not sure of his position. He's not quick enough to separate as a receiver. They don't know that he can necessarily make the transition to tight end. So I'm not hearing a lot about Funchess right now and talking to people in the building and around the league, but I am hearing a lot about Jalen Strong. I'm hearing a lot about Green-Beckham. I think Green-Beckham actually is going to go 33rd, by the way, to the Tennessee Titans. I think that he's going to be the first pick of the second round.
And that Mariota-Dorial Green-Beckham tandem for the next 5 years makes a lot
with
of Tennessee
Kendall
Titans
Wright.
Happy. With Kendall Wright.
Delanie
absolutely.
Walker.
Yes. Played with Delanie Walker Bishop. In San Francisco. He is a playmaker.
Oh, yes, he is. Bishop Sankey, they'd have a lot of guys there. So I do think that there are plenty of options at the three positions you still need. Wide receiver, edge rusher, tight end, and I think the Browns will fill two of those today. I think that I like what they did here. It was smart. It was sensible. Was it sexy? No. If you'd said to me, Nathan, would you rather have had Devontae Parker and Danny Shelton? Sure, but I don't know if you get that. And I know based on how the Browns viewed this draft, they got the two best players they thought they could possibly come out of this draft with at 12 and 19 and got them.
You're right about that. And if you go back and look at the 2014 season and why Cam Irving makes sense, look at the breakdown that happened with the inability to run the football
right.
because of depth on the offensive line. Whether it's at center, you know, a true backup at center or guard with Greco moving to center, playing out of position, bringing someone else to play in a guard position. You know, he brings that depth and experience of playing at an extremely high level in a great offense, in a pro-style offense, protecting Jameis Winston the past few years. And so I think last year showed a lot of Browns fans that we might not need to be as talented across the board with playmakers, but if you can protect the passer and run the football and play good defense, you're going to be in a lot of games. And that's where Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, Hawkins back at his original number three spot to dominate as an inside slot wide receiver, and potentially adding, you know, another young piece of talent to that room makes it a very special year ahead of us. And it makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. This is a team now getting a lot of praise, made smart decisions. That's what people are saying nationally about what the Browns did. Locally, people are happy. We do want to hear from you. Today's all about your reaction in the first round and what you want to see in the second and third rounds here, day two of the draft. Matt and I will be with you till 3, and then again tonight on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network from 7 to 11, covering the second and third rounds tonight. So we've got a lot to do here. Sean Payton, by the way, saying that if the Browns did not take Shelton, the Saints would have taken Shelton at number 13. That's what I was just tweeted from my man Bodie on the corner.
Thank God we did. And you know what, Nathan? Another point on Cam Irving and why that pick makes a lot of sense. If you recall when we had the draft preview show talking with Mike Patton, he talked about offensively being better in better down and distance situations to help the quarterback, to help those playmakers, to not be in second and 8+. You know, to not be, you know, 3rd and 7+ because of your inability to run the football. And I think this you know, cements our ability to run the football, even if they're at one point in the season, maybe not season ending, but voids in a week here or a few weeks with an injury across the board. You now have a guy or guys that you can put in that have starting experience or is a first-round draft pick that you expect no drop-off. So that your ability to run the football is maintained and your ability to be the offense that John DeFilippo implements, it stays on track as opposed to becoming something, you know, with our inability to run the football and then having to use gimmicky type of plays just to try to get a first down.
That's right. And listen, the other thing that means when you draft Cam Irving and you draft Danny Shelton, it means you did not draft Todd Gurley. You did not draft Melvin Gordon. And I personally am happy about that. I believe in Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West and Glenn Winston. The Browns have good backs. I think Crow has an opportunity to be special in this offense and in this league. And I actually saw the Crow today, and he had a big smile on his face. And I think that he knows that he's got an opportunity here to do something now that the Browns didn't go that direction. I was actually very happy when St. Louis made that pick, and I was very happy when San Diego moved up to take Melvin Gordon. Nothing against him, but I think that now you have a team that is continuing to build, filling holes, and also building the right way at the point of attack. And now you have the opportunity to add your skill position players.
You're absolutely right. And again, just with you referencing seeing Crow, for him personally to know that the team could have identified running back as a potential weakness, and Gurley and Gordon, who have been rumored to be, you know, linked to the Browns at certain points by some of the top analysts, Mel Kiper being one of them. It's a boost of confidence for him and Terrence West to know that they didn't go out and get top-tier talent when it was dangling right there in front of your face to essentially replace you. Maybe not replace you, but take your role or take your offseason, which has been pushing you for the last 3 months to, I want to be the guy. I want to be that 1,000-yard rusher. You add a first-round draft pick to that room, and neither Terrence West or Isaiah Crowell, unless they're just playing out of their minds, are a 1,000-yard rusher. So that would have you kind of brought them down a level. You know what I mean?
If Crow gets the carries, if he gets 240 carries, he's running for 1,000.
You can say that for, I think T. West, you can say the same.
I think
Gurley, you could say the same thing. Melvin Gordon, you could say the same thing. But I just meant it would knock him down a peg, if you know what I'm saying. But to know that the organization did not go running back gives a boost of confidence, puts some pep in his step. That's why he's walking around with that smile that you saw, because he has the organization backing him and his partner and their talent and their ability to tote the football.
And yeah, I like it as it all played out. I'm very happy. We could have ended up in trouble on this show because we took a lot of very strong stances.
You were a little panicked here and there yesterday. Yes, you were.
Yeah. But I'm happy that, you know, Danny Shelton, we both wanted the whole time.
Absolutely.
And I'm happy that I said all along,
Cam in Canada's happy.
It's got to be Cam in Canada. Cam, you didn't have to give up next year's first-round pick, so we still get to have that pick. Thank goodness for Danny Shelton. But, you know, Cam Irving was the only guy that I wanted. That was it. Cam Irving, if you want an offensive lineman, it had to be Cam Irving. And that's exactly what you got, which is what I wanted for this team. I'll be curious to know if we'll ever find out if they got any opportunities to move down from 19. But I know with where Cam Irving was valued on the Browns draft board, it was very, very high, and they think that at number 19, they got a tremendous value on him, a guy they consider to be one of the best offensive linemen in this draft.
I do, too. And the greatest thing that in reading, you know, the press releases, you know, up to this point about Cam Irving is he's not a center, he's not a guard, he's not a tackle. He loves being classified as an offensive lineman, and I think that's what really intrigued the Cleveland Browns is that he can play every position across the board. And also, too, as you continue to follow his comments, his understanding of the Browns even more so than just the organization, but to know, I've been watching Joe Thomas for 3 years, you know, watching his footwork, watching the best in the business, to be able to learn from Alex Mack, because he can be called upon to play guard, he can be called upon to play right tackle, and he could get called, you know, be called upon, you know, in the very near future to potentially be the center for the Cleveland Browns.
That's right. Cam Irving, Danny Shelton, both here, both in the building in Berea. We will have them for you live on Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Got a chance to talk with both of those guys, obviously, last night in Chicago. Both very excited. Shelton, I think, was just kind of in awe of the moment.
They're good guys.
Very good guys. And we are going to have that sound for you. My interviews with Danny Shelton and Cam Irving live from the draft last night. I'm going to have those to go ahead. We're going to air those for you when we come back. We also want to hear your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Tweet us. You guys are already blowing it up. At Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily. We want to hear from you. Do you like what happened in round one? What do you want in rounds two and three? I definitely want a playmaker. I'm ready for it. Let's go. Giddy up. Zagura and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.